truly the greatest day of all days in the year, right? I mean, it really is, especially if you've been born again. Anybody here been born again? That's right. Your Jesus' blood has cleansed that sin stain, and wow, and here we are today to truly celebrate what he has done. And you know, I think a lot of times we come, and as I was seeking God this week, it's like, hey, God, what do you want me to share? We always get in this place, whether it's Christmas or Easter, it's like, it's the same story. Well, it's a great story, amen? Amen. It's a great story. It's the greatest story ever told, in all honesty. But, you know, we focus on the resurrection of Christ, and then we say, what would Christ want us to, what would he want us to truly focus on this time of year, every day of our lives? And here's the thing. He is risen, okay? He's not in the tomb. We aren't following a dead Savior, okay? We are following an awesome, risen Savior who is involved in our lives every single day, wouldn't you agree? Every day. Whether you recognize him or not, he is there. I think we should get a little excited this morning. But Easter always brings us to a place of focusing, as I said, on the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The resurrection is a historical fact, right? You can read about it in history books. Not only that, the resurrection is a transformative event. The resurrection seals the mission that Jesus Christ invaded, why he invaded our world. You see, Jesus came and invaded our world to offer us victory. Okay? Victory over sin and death, victory over this life, and he offers us a new life in him. Have you tasted that new life this morning? You know, I want to read to you from Mark chapter 16, 1 through 8. It says this. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Salome, bought spices so that they might go to anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb, and they asked each other, I think this is so key, they asked each other, who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb? But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. Don't be alarmed, he said. You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him? But go, tell his disciples and Peter, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you. Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. I wonder if we get trembling and bewildered these days when it comes to standing before God Almighty. Well, the first thing I want to share with you this morning, and if you take notes on your bulletin, you have a place, I want you to write this down. God rolled away that stone. Now, I'm here to tell you this morning that there is so much encouragement, okay? There's so much encouragement from that stone being rolled away. You see, first, the resurrection of Jesus Christ removes the ultimate barriers between humanity and God. That's what that heavy stone meant, right? The stone, and that stone was a heavy stone. These ladies, and I bring your attention to this one more time, these ladies said, who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb? Church, again, I'm here to tell you that Jesus Christ can roll away those heavy stones. You have a heavy stone this morning? You got something in your life that just looks like there's no way it's going to get moved? You got a relationship that there's no way it'll ever be healed? Right? You got an addiction that you'll never overcome? Right? That heavy stone represents a lot when it comes to our Lord. I want you to catch this. The women went and they purchased spices, and then very early on the first day of the week, they were heading to the tomb to anoint Jesus' body as a sign of love, right? As a sign of love, as a sign of devotion, and as a sign of respect. So bringing spices to the tomb back in that day was like bringing flowers to your loved one's grave today. Now as they reached the tomb, they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled away. It says, as they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. Now let's just take a moment to highlight something here. As these women were heading to the tomb that morning, they had worry, right? They had worry, obviously. They're like, hey, we know we need to do this. We know we need to go. We need to go here. This is where we're supposed to be. But who's going to roll away the stone? There ain't none of us strong enough to roll away the stone. There's things in your life, right? So I ask again, what fears do you have today? What fears do you have? You know, is our country going to be at war? Is that cancer going to, you know, is that cancer dying? Is it getting smaller? Is it growing? Is it getting bigger, right? What sin do you have in your life that you continue to struggle with, right? Will my marriage be restored? Or am I going to have to start all over again? How am I going to make ends meet for my family? How am I going to get out of that? You see, church, these women were worried about how they were going to get to Jesus that morning. How are we going to get to Him? How are we going to get to Him? And to their surprise, when they got to the tomb, God already showed up. He already showed up, and God had already moved that heavy stone. Church, I know that there are things that cause you to fear in this life. There is. We all have them. You know, we look so brave during the day, but when we go to bed at night, we lay our head down on the pillow, we're worried about those things. We all have fears in this life. We all have sin that seems to be holding us captive, right? There are obstacles that you don't think you can overcome this morning. But I'm here today to remind you that you have a God that is already out in front of you. You have a God that is already out in front of you, removing those heavy stones so that you can have victory. And a lot of times we don't see it when we're in the midst of whatever the circumstance is. But I got news for you. If you are a born-again believer, if you are a child of God, He's already out in front of you, and He's already at work. He's already at work rolling those stones. You see, God calls us to live a resurrected life, right? A resurrection life. A resurrection life unhindered by the past and the future. That's the thing. You have resurrection power. Amen? If you're a born-again believer, you have resurrection power. That means I'm living in victory no matter what. If the doctor tells me whenever I go to the doctor, hey, you got a week to live, I have victory. And that's the way we're supposed to live our lives. Because this life isn't it. It's not the end. In all honesty, my friends, when I finally lay down this life is when life begins. Because I'll be with Jesus. Romans 8, 10 through 11 says this, "But if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin, yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. And if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who lives in you." Church, you have resurrection power now. That's the thing. I have resurrection power today. Not when I die. You know, it's not like, oh, well, that's when I get resurrected. No, you were resurrected when you were saved, my friends. You were resurrected and you now have resurrection power because that stone was rolled away and Jesus Christ walked out of that tomb. You have resurrection power living in you. That's what the Bible says, right? That's a promise. If I believe, then the Holy Spirit comes to live in me. I know sometimes it's hard to believe he's there because I see a whole lot more of me and a whole lot less of him. But he's there because it's God's promise. That resurrection power is living in you. Church, the Holy Spirit is God's promise or guarantee of eternal life for those who believe in Jesus. Do you believe in Jesus this morning? You know that is the basis of salvation? To believe? And to allow that belief to actually take up residency in my life, in my heart, and it actually starts to make me live differently? There's evidence, right? That's right. The Holy Spirit is the promised and guarantee of eternal life. Ephesians 1, 13 and 14 says this, "And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation." You heard it. You're hearing it right now. Does that heart believe? If you believe, then you are saved, right? If you profess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, the Bible says you will be saved. Do you believe that this morning? You know, I'm not going to tell you to recite a prayer or do this or do that. The bottom line is if you believe in your heart, then Jesus says you are saved. And with belief comes a life, a changed life. It says, "And you were also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory." You see, the Holy Spirit is God's seal on us that we belong to him, and the Holy Spirit is his deposit, right? Not yours. Look, you can't do anything to be saved. It's all on him. You believe and you're saved. God does the rest, right? The Holy Spirit is his seal that we belong to him. It's his deposit guaranteeing, catch this, it's his deposit guaranteeing that he will do what he promised. Just like he promised that he was going to come and he was going to die for your sins, just like he promised that he was going to walk out of that tomb, he promised that if you believe, he is going to carry you on to completion of salvation. The presence of the Holy Spirit, my friends, in us demonstrates the genuineness of our faith and proves that we are God's children. And the Holy Spirit secures eternal life for us today. Not when we die, not when we've done enough good deeds. The moment that you profess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, I'm here to tell you that you have resurrection power living in you. God does this, not you. Philippians 1:6 says this, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Do you know what that good work is? Salvation. Right? It's not, well, you know what? God called me to this ministry and he's going to carry me on through the ministry. That's not what that's talking about. The good work that he begins in people is salvation. And that's when he begins to work in our lives and change our lives and change us from the inside out, right? And his promise, my friends, is that he will finish that work in you one day when you meet Jesus face to face. And my friends, everyone's going to meet Jesus face to face. Everyone. God's work, again, for us began when Jesus Christ died on that cross. God's work began in us when we first believed. Maybe you need to be reminded of that this morning. You know what? I get it. Life gets tough, right? We stumble. We fall. We fall short of God's glory, right? That's what the Bible says. A lot of people say, well, that happens before you get saved. Yeah, right. Have they walked with me? Stumble and fall. Now, God is going to complete that salvation work. I want to read to you first. John 20, 1 through 9 says this. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. I don't really know why he had to write that in there. Other than Peter is slow, I guess. I don't really know. But so the first disciple, he bent over and looked in the tomb first. He reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in it at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter, who was behind him, he says it again, arrived and went into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the burial cloth that had been around Jesus' head. The cloth was folded up by itself, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Church, all because God rolled away that stone. Salvation came to those who believe. You see, Jesus' resurrection is the key to the Christian faith, right? And maybe you say, why? Well, it's key to the Christian faith because Jesus, just as Jesus rose from the dead, we can be certain of our own resurrection. You know, it's something you hold on to, right? I mean, we've all probably lost people in our lives. Some of us have lost young ones in our lives. And to understand about this resurrection power, that one day, whenever I breathe my last, I will see those who are in Christ again. I will see them again. Church, death is not the end. It is not the end, which leads to my next thought on this beautiful Resurrection Sunday, and that is this: I can have resurrection power. I can have resurrection power. Church, the Bible tells us that the same Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is the same Holy Spirit that lives in believers. Okay? He lives in believers. Now, if you believed in Jesus Christ and the promise of eternal life, I'm here to tell you, you have resurrection power. Okay, you have resurrection power. The problem was, and maybe is still today for some of us, at one time you were dead in your sins and you were powerless. Ephesians 2:1 says this, As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. So we were once dead. You know what dead means? We were once dead, okay? In our sins. Meaning our sins, I mean, it was what drove our lives, right? I mean, I think about my life before Christ, and man, I was a sinner of sinners. And I was dead. Didn't even know I was dead. I was a dead man walking. You know what? There's a lot of people in our families in the world that are out there. They think that there's a lot of ways to heaven. They think that everybody goes to heaven. They think all kinds of things. They don't realize that they're dead. They were dead. We were dead in our sins, and we were powerless. That's the thing. We were powerless to actually do anything to free ourselves from those sins. You couldn't do it. Oh, you tried, right? I remember. I tried week in and week out to not to be subject to the sin that was destroying my marriage, destroying my family, destroying everything around me. I tried to change it, but it wouldn't change. Why? Because I was dead in my sins and I was powerless to do anything about it. Until Jesus walked in. Until Jesus walked into my life and made a way, right? He made a way where there was no way. There seemed to be no way. It was going to end in divorce and my kids being in every other weekend visit to dad and all these things, right? I'm telling you this morning, there's a things that you're fighting and you're dealing with and you're thinking, there is no way. I don't know a way, but I'm here to tell you that there is a way. God makes ways where there is no way. I promise you, He's done it a lot in my life. God made a way where there is no way. And His way is Jesus. Jesus is the way. Actually, I would say Jesus is the only way. If you're trying anything else but Jesus, you're never going to get where you need to be. You're never going to overcome that stuff that you're struggling with right here today. Oh, you think, man, I can just keep it hidden. I can just keep it under the wraps. I don't need anybody to see it. Nobody will see. Nobody will see my struggles. But it's still there, right? It's still there. And the weight of that sin and that disobedience just gets heavier and heavier and heavier. That's why Jesus came. He came to take away the weight of sin off of you. Jesus is the only way, He's the only truth, and He's the only life. Amen? The question is, have you believed in Him today? I'm not saying have you been baptized in the church? I'm not saying that you've done enough good works. I'm not saying any of that. I'm saying, do you believe in Jesus Christ as being the one and only risen Savior that walked out of the tomb? That's salvation, my friends. You can't do anything to gain it except believe. Except believe. There's some of you this morning, maybe you're banking on some pastor baptizing you and that was salvation. It's not. Oh, it's a response to salvation. I get that. But if you don't believe in Jesus, then you know what's going to happen? You're going to get up there, we're going to meet Him face to face, and He'll be like, I never knew you. Do you believe in Jesus? Have you given your life to Jesus? There's not a work that does, all works are powerless apart from Jesus. Do you believe in Him this morning? Have you given your life to Him? Or are you still dead and you don't realize that you're dead? Maybe you're asking yourself right now, how do I get saved? Well, you get saved by believing. That's it. I know you want some some really high-tech answer. There's no other answer. You get saved by believing. There's nothing else. A person is saved by believing in their heart that God raised him from the dead, that raised Jesus from the dead, and by confessing that Jesus is Lord. But then there will be evidence, my friends, of that salvation, right? Because your life should change. No matter what, no, trust me, I could sit here and preach all day long about my conversion, because I walked out of there, I was saved, and I remember it like it was yesterday. And I walked right out and I wanted to live the same life. God wouldn't let me. He wouldn't let me live the same life. Because when I did choose that old life, there was a lot of sleepless nights. You have sleepless nights whenever you do wrong. That's good. Because it's evidence that you're saved. It's evidence that the Holy Spirit is working in your life. You know, it's good to have a sleepless night or two. Or maybe a month's worth. I don't know. It is good to have a sleepless night. We are saved by grace through faith. That's what the Bible says. It sounds simple, doesn't it? Well, let me just read it to you. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 says this, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." Church, salvation is not earned, it is a free gift. We believe Jesus is God's one and only Son who came from heaven to earth to save us from our sins. We trust that Jesus died for our sins and He rose again. It's essential to the Christian faith. John 3:16, you know it, right? It's at every ball game. So if you watch any ball on TV, you probably see John 3:16, which says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life." Church, it's that simple. But it changes your life. It changes the way you do things. You don't live for yourself anymore. You live for others. You live for God. You put Him and His ways first and not me and my ways first. We have to confess and we have to repent. Romans 10:9, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. That's what the Bible says. And then the Holy Spirit comes in to live in your heart. Galatians 4:6, because you are sons and daughters, God sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts. The Spirit who calls out, "Abba, Father," right? Now that the Holy Spirit lives in our hearts, true salvation, He enables us to be more like Christ more and more every day. There should be a growth. We don't arrive, you know. We don't arrive until we meet Jesus face to face. But we become more and more like Christ every day. Do you see the evidence of your growth this morning? Now, trust me, I mean, we're on all different levels, right? I mean, some of us just started walking with the Lord. Maybe you just started walking with the Lord in this message this morning. I don't know. But some of us, maybe we've been walking with the Lord for 30 years, right? But there should be growth. There should be a desire in our hearts for Him, right? And what He did, resurrection power. You see, when we become more and more like Christ every day, it is followed by a change of heart and mind. You see, there is a desire to turn away from our sin and turn to God. Acts 3:19 says this, "Repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord." Church, the purpose of Jesus' invading our world, living a perfect, sinless life, preaching and teaching about the coming of God's kingdom, riding on a donkey on Palm Sunday, ticking off the Pharisees as he went in and he turned the tables over in the temple that they created, but claimed it was God's. Claiming that that was God's temple, Jesus did. He allowed the selfish Judas to betray him. He allowed them to arrest him. Jesus allowed them to beat him, to whip him, to mock him, to spit on him, and totally disrespect him. He made his way to the cross, to his death. And then he allowed them to nail him to a cross to suffer and finally die. He allowed them to put him in the ground so that he could walk out of the tomb. You understand that? Nobody killed Jesus. Jesus laid down his life. And on this day that we celebrate, he walked out of the tomb. No, he did it. No, nobody helped him. He did it. And when he walked out of the tomb, he claimed victory over sin and death once and for all. All that so that you might be saved. So that you might not be lost to the eternal damnation of hell. Now here's the thing. Jesus has done his part. Amen? You have to do yours. You see, you have to recognize your need for a Savior. Romans 3:23 says this, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Church, this morning, have you admitted that you are not good enough by God's standard to get into heaven without Jesus? That you have broken God's law, which makes you a lawbreaker and means that you cannot enter heaven. You can't. The Bible tells us to repent today. Repent. Choose to turn away from sin. We are to believe and trust in Jesus' death and resurrection. And then we confess and acknowledge Jesus Christ as Lord of our lives, which unlocks this resurrection power. You want to live in victory? You need Jesus. You got to be saved. You can't get through this life without Him. There's no way. I tell you what, I've been walking with Him for almost 30 years now, and I got news for you. I look at this world and the way it's going, I couldn't imagine walking through this life without Him. There's no way. So once we confess, once we claim, once we believe in Christ and who He said He is, and we believe that God raised Him from the grave, the same Holy Spirit that resurrected Jesus from the grave comes to live in us. Resurrection power, my friends. Do you have it? Do you have it? It's the most important power you will have in your life. This resurrection power. Have you experienced it? If you haven't, I think you ought to start today. In believing in Him. And professing that He is Lord. And He is the only way. He is the only way to heaven, right? So again, that same resurrection power that raised Jesus from the grave comes to live inside of you. He comes and lives inside of the one. This is important. He comes and lives inside of the one who believes in Jesus and who believes that God raised Him from the dead. Anyone who's out there who does not... Look, I've talked to a lot of religious people. They claim God all day long. But Jesus, I'm sorry. They must not be reading the same Bible I'm reading. Because God has made it vitally clear that the only way you are saved is through Jesus Christ. Not God. Jesus. Who is God? Hey, stick around for a while. Maybe we'll hit that in a few weeks. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, church. I hope you're hearing me this morning. The same resurrection power that raised Jesus Christ from the grave comes to live inside of you if you have believed in Jesus and God raising Him from the dead. 1 Corinthians 6:19 and 20 says this, "Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own, you were bought at a price." When you believed, you were bought. The Holy Spirit comes in to live in you to assure you that one day when you breathe your last, which might be before I finish this sermon, that you'll be with Him. That's the deposit. But then we're supposed to live a different life, right? How about 2 Timothy 1:14? Guard the good deposit, this holy, you know, this deposit. Guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. How about John 14, 16 through 17? "And I will ask the Father, and He will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept Him because it neither sees Him nor knows Him, but you know Him, for He lives with you and will be in you." Let me ask again, any children of God in the house this morning? All right, you have resurrection power. You have the Holy Spirit living in you. Maybe you should say that with me. I have resurrection power. Say that with me. I have resurrection power. Do you believe it? Because you do. So what do we do with this on Easter Sunday 2026? The last thing I want you to write down is this. Well, it's not the last thing, but I need to allow the resurrection power to change my life. What is the greatest thing we can do as Christians? Go and feed the hungry? Go and give a lot of money to the church? Go and serve everybody out in the world? Is that the greatest thing? Nope, it's not. No, the greatest thing that you can do as a Christian is allow the resurrection power to change your life. God is living in you. He wants to change you. And when He changes you, then all that other stuff happens. Right? I've been telling people for a very long time now, it just seems like every conversation I'm having is the most important thing you can do is stay connected to Jesus. That's it. Everything else flows from that. If you stay connected. I mean, have you ever wondered why Jesus saved you? Have you ever wondered that? Have you ever sit there? It happens probably once a week in my office. And I'm like, God. I mean, you know, it's usually whenever I stumble and fall, and I'm like, I don't even know why you saved me. Because He saved you on purpose, for a purpose, His purpose. You see, I want to read to you from Acts chapter 1, 1 through 8, says this, "In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day He was taken up to heaven. After giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles He had chosen, after His suffering, He showed Himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that He was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while He was eating with them, He gave this command, 'Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.' So when they met together, they asked Him, 'Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?' He said to them, 'It is not for you to know the times or the dates the Father has set by His own authority, but you will receive you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. That proclamation is still the same today. If you are saved, the Holy Spirit has come to live in you, and you are to proclaim His good news to the ends of the earth. You see, I think too many times we show up to church and we leave feeling like, man, I really need to be doing more. I need to be doing more, but I don't really like talking to people. Some of you might be even thinking, I don't really like people. You're probably not being called to the ministry as a pastor anyway. Maybe you're thinking, I don't know enough scripture. Or I don't know fill in the blank. Church, the resurrection story is the greatest story ever told. The resurrection story is still changing lives. You see, the resurrection story needs to be shared. It does. It needs to be shared, not just on Easter Sunday, but every day of our lives. If somebody opens a door and gives you the opportunity, you need to share with them about the resurrection power. Because there's people out in our world that are fearing death, and they're fearing sickness, and they're fearing all kinds of things. And the reality is, we don't have to fear that. Not on this side of it. No, I've got resurrection power. I live it today, and I'm going to live it when I breathe my last, right? Maybe I should make a small suggestion for you today. Here's what I think more than anything is happening. I think we've been so inundated with people telling us, we got to do this, we got to do this, we got to do this. Let me just make a small suggestion. Stop fighting God's resurrection power from working in your life. You know what? I think you can get in the way. You can get in the way of God's resurrection power actually changing your life. Because, you know what? Maybe somebody told you, you gotta do, 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 do. Instead of just be. Just be at Jesus' feet. Just allow Him to do what He's going to do in your life today. Resurrection power, it's there. It is there. The same resurrection power that raised Jesus from the dead, the same resurrection power that's living in me is also living in you. You're without excuse, to be honest. Except you get in the way. You get in the way of God's resurrection power work. Church, we have been made to believe all these things, but the reality is, all you have to do is stop fighting God's resurrection power in your life. What does this look like? Well, living a life of active surrender, that's what it looks like. This will require a daily active surrender to Christ. How often do you get up in the morning and say, God, this day is yours? Make it what you want it to be and use me how you choose to use me. I'm guessing most of us don't do that. You've got calendars, you've got agendas, you've got games to be to, you've got all kinds, you've got work to be at, you've got all kinds of things that we've cluttered our calendars with, right? Trust me, I know better than anybody. My calendar is crazy. And most of it is put there by me. But the reality is, if I get up and I surrender my day and my life every day and let God make it what He wants it to be, I have a good chance of living out in that resurrection power. To allow the Holy Spirit to transform you from the inside out and to empower you to overcome sin and spiritual stagnation. right? It will require you to die to self and your selfishness. And you will need to trust God completely. I want to give you in closing, very quickly, seven things that you can do today to live in His resurrection power. Number one, embrace death to sin and self. Embrace it. If you are a born again believer, if you have believed in Jesus, you are dead to sin. You are dead to sin and you are alive in Christ. Number two, actively surrender and repent. The word actively is key. Church, confession and repentance are necessary to live in His resurrection power. What causes you to be cut off from your fellowship with God? Sin. Even as a believer, my friends, I get it. You may be saved. But if you are in active sin, then your fellowship with God is not close. So you need to actively surrender and repent. Do it daily. Something you learn in the book of Hebrews. Sometimes you need to get up and you got to go, "Hey God, forgive me the things I don't even know I did." Number three, develop a lifestyle of little deaths. Okay? Develop a lifestyle of little deaths. What I mean by that is this: becoming more like Christ is a process that only God can do in your life. We need to view our acts of obedience, even when we get it just a little right, right? We need to view our acts of obedience, our humility and service as little deaths, right? That lead us to new life and spiritual growth in Christ. Church, those little deaths, those little times that we just get it a little right, they're signs of growth. They're signs of growth, and they are signs of Jesus' resurrection power living in you. Number four, cultivate spiritual disciplines. You need to cultivate spiritual disciplines. Church, we should be spending time with God in prayer, studying His Word, and seeking God's presence in our lives on a regular basis. If it's Sunday's the only time you're opening up the Word of God, yeah, that's not enough. It's not enough. I don't care if you're reading one verse or a chapter or a book every day, but you need to be spending time in God's Word, and you need to be seeking God's presence in your life on a regular basis. Again, these aren't just good things to do. These disciplines actually nourish the soul and connect you to the source. Number five, live as an overcomer. Every time I say overcomer, I want to break out in Mandisa. You don't want to see that, I'm promising. But, you're an overcomer. Anyway, I don't want to do it. Listen, because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, you can be an overcomer of all things. All things. I promise you, it's not just death. It's being an overcomer in life. Number six, share God's love and forgiveness. Share it, right? Make a commitment today to invest your time and effort into eternal things. Look, we spend so much time on earthly things, they don't last. They don't last. I can tell you, I learned that before I was a Christian when I first got married, right? I had all kinds of trophies and I was decorated well with Letterman jacket and all kinds of things. And one day she decided the Goodwill was a good place for all of it. But you know what? At first I was mad. But you want to know something? I realized very quickly how quick those things fade. Earthly things fade. They don't last forever. Only the things that are in Christ last forever. only the things in Christ. We need to share God's love and forgiveness. We should be preparing for the eternal life. Is everyone around you going to be there? Let me ask you that. Is everyone around you going to be there? Because that's where we're going to spend eternity. You might get 70 years here. Maybe you get 80. I don't know. I had a grandson that made it 9.5 hours. Eternity is a long time. Are the people around you going to be there with you? It's vitally important because those who went before us, you will see again if you're in Him. And number 7, I'd say, is the most vitally important one. Remain connected to Jesus. Constantly allow the Holy Spirit to show you what you need out of your life that is hindering your relationship with God, and then allow the Holy Spirit to help you remove those things from your life. Church, the worst thing in this life would be, if you're a Christian, is to be disconnected from Jesus. It's the worst. It is absolutely the worst. Jesus is the way and the truth and the life, and no one has resurrection power except through Him. I want to invite our worship team to come up. We're going to sing a song to close out this Easter Sunday, and I would invite you all to stand and sing with them, and we'll close out this morning. But church, remaining in Jesus is vitally important. What is hindering you today? What is hindering you today from tapping into that resurrection power on a daily basis? If there's something hindering you from that resurrection power, it's got to go. It's either got to go or it's got to be changed. And only Jesus can change it.
Lord, oh Lord.
May the Lord bless you as you leave here today, and I pray that you go in the victory of knowing that you have resurrection power. In Jesus' name, amen.